Hey, Cornerstone Community Church. If you haven't met me, my name is Ben Friesen. I am one of the pastors here at our church. Thank you for joining us. Happy Father's Day. I know that for many of us, this is a day that we can honor our dads, the fathers in our lives, whether we are able to be with them as kids this morning, whether we are able to see them, contact them, call them. To those of you who are fathers in our lives, thank you for the wonderful role you play in teaching us as we grow. We recognize that while today is a day of joy for many of us who are able to celebrate with our fathers, it may not be that way for everyone. Today's a day that many of us recognize. We remember our fathers are dads that have passed away, and today might be a day where that is you in that situation. We recognize that some of us had fathers that hurt us, whether intentionally or not. Some of us miss our fathers, and some of us may not be fathers when we want to be dads. There are many different situations that we can come to Father's Day in. But we know that one of the titles that is given to God is as our Father. So we're going to be exploring a passage today that reminds us of that. And we will see what that has to say to us and help us talking about prayer this morning. We are also going to be hearing from one of the fathers in our church that just what being a father means to him, and then we'll do our standard Cornerstone check-in as well. So we're going to get to those, and then we'll see you in a bit.
So what does being a father mean to me? I guess from I became a father at a very early age. Sometimes I think I wish I had known then what I know now. I think I'm a better father, having recently acquired a new child at this age in my life. I wish I'd known then what I know now. What fatherhood means to me, I guess, is it's a fulfillment. And I knew early on that there was something in me driven by God to be a father, to take care of the young ones around me. And I came to realize later that was the example that God had set, being the good father that he is. And prayer has been a big part of that. In times when I had no clue what to do or how to be a good father, going to my father and asking him. And I was blessed with a very good earthly father. He was patient and kind and godly. He prayed for me. And that made a big difference in my life. So that's what being a father means to me, I guess.
Well, greetings, everyone. We would love to see you in person, but we know that's not possible for us right now at this point. What we've been doing since the middle of March, I guess, pretty much staying home for 2 months. We didn't really go anywhere or see anyone. Spend a lot of time. I worked on my hobbies. I quilted and I also made a lot of masks. Made masks for us and our family and neighbors, and so made a lot of masks, and I still do whenever anyone ever asks why. I say, sure, I can do that. I have done a lot of cooking and cleaned out our freezer that way. It's a good thing, and so that's been a good thing. Our son grocery shopped for us for 2 months, and so didn't go to the grocery store. I have a friend that also picked up locally if I needed anything during the week. So we got along for 2 months that way. And then I said, you know, I can learn to order at the from the grocery store and go to curbside. So I figured that out, and now I order and go pick it up at the curbside. And that's worked. It isn't. I told Lawrence I didn't think I would ever long to go to a grocery store. But I have that longing to just browse around in the grocery store again. But I don't think that'll happen for a while. Done a lot of phone contacts with family. Try to call someone every day and touch base with someone, a friend or family member somewhere. So try to do that. And then we've also worked a lot in our yard, either worked or just enjoyed our yard and sit outside. So we've been outside until it's gotten hot, not so much now, but we spend a lot of time outside. So it's been good. We've kind of, I guess, started to enjoy each other's company because we were always busy going different directions, and so it made us slow down.
Speaking of emptying the refrigerator or the freezer, we found that we had a package of nuts in there that was dated back to 07. We didn't know it was there, so it was time that we cleaned it out. The hamburger's not that bad. Welcome to our sanctuary. We have come to really enjoy the homestead and spend a lot of time out here. We had, prior to COVID, we had agreed upon a little strategy in our lives that became a very important function for us, and that was to become more faithful in acknowledging those around us who in the past, who we've marginalized. And by that I mean that we've gone by them and not even bothered to know their names. And so it became a pet project of mine when I went to a fast food place to remember the person, try to remember the name of the person that waited on me, and the next time to greet that person by name and to see the difference that it made in their acknowledgement of me and the gratitude that they had in being recognized. And that included the people that we walked with at the health center. And this whole episode with COVID has really limited that, our capacity to do that. And we miss that a lot. And then in the last weeks, we've spent a lot of time grieving what our nation is going through with regard to race. And quite frankly, when we stop and really do some hard thinking about our responsibility in that and that and so on, I wonder what is it that we're going to be held responsible to help rectify the situation where hate prevails in our society. It's got to stop, and we got to be a part of that first. So those are the things that, besides missing all of you, you know me, I'm a hugger, and there's going to be a catch 'em up time here, day of reckoning one of these days. We're looking for the day when we can all see you all again.
Hey, church family, Pastor Ben here. Whether you are gathering with us online or whether you are some of the people that are gathered at our church building today, I just want to say thank you for worshiping with us. Thanks for gathering as Cornerstone Community Church, both the scattered church and the gathered church. We are going to be talking about prayer today. We're moving on in our series, which has been talking about the ripple effect. We're moving on to talking about how prayer impacts our world. You see over here, I'll actually put this up, make this the main screen. But prayer for our world ripples out. You see the last circle here is green. Green indicating growth. We grow as we pray spiritually, but we also recognize that when we pray, it impacts our world. So, let's read scripture together and let's see what God has to tell us about our prayer rippling out, expanding out, and impacting our world. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're actually going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer today. And let's get to it. I'm actually going to put it up here on the screen. Oh, there we go. I invite you to read along with me. Read out loud and let's all say, let's all pray this prayer together. Read it out loud with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We've heard this prayer before. I don't know if you remember. I've actually preached about this prayer here at our church before. But even if you are not a Jesus follower, even if you are just encountering us on the internet, or this is the first time you've set foot into a church for a long time, chances are you've encountered this prayer elsewhere. It is referenced in a ton of books, films. I actually remember the first time that I encountered this prayer outside of church. I was watching the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man. That's right, kids. This was three versions of Spider-Man ago. And unlike the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man, when most of us pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't have to worry about the Green Goblin popping out and interrupting us. But regardless of whether we are a follower of Jesus or not, we have heard the Lord's Prayer. And so I don't want to focus on the entire thing. I want to take a look at two specific pieces that I think are going to be really helpful for us as we continue our journey into prayer as a church family. First off, we see what God is referred to by Jesus as. He is referred to as Father. And I'm reminded on today of all days, Happy Father's Day, by the way, but we are reminded that today God is somehow like our Father. It's called pater in the original Greek. This is the Greek word pater. It's where padre, father in Spanish, comes from. And even if we don't fully understand it, we recognize in some way that God is not just maleness, but that God fulfills somehow mysteriously a fatherly role in our lives. And even if our earthly fathers didn't always show us the best way to live, God does. Men, I just want to speak to you for just a second here. I want to call out something I've seen growing in our culture. It seems like there is a distaste for what's called weakness in our culture, and that is emotions in men. That men having emotions is somehow weakness. I want to say to all of you here, whether you are a father or not, do not fall prey to this trap. Jesus, the best man who ever lived, the best man who ever lived, that's what we as Christians say. The strongest person who sacrificed himself for the sake of the whole world cried out in Mark 14, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is this intimate cry, Daddy, please. I don't want to do this, but I want what you want. That's in Mark 14 when Jesus is crying out before his crucifixion in the garden. So I want to challenge us. Let's remove the phrase, "don't cry," from our vocabulary. Let people feel what they feel. Don't stamp it out, but instead, let's teach people, let's teach even ourselves to engage our emotions even as we move forward. Not suppressing them, not, you know, shoving them down, but engaging with our emotions and moving forward anyways. I just want to recognize this has been an emotional season, an emotionally exhausting season. And it is okay, it is even good to feel things emotionally. That's my challenge for those of us who are men in the crowd today. The second piece that I want to get to, the second piece of this prayer that we're going to focus most of our time around, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is moving God's kingdom forward. And God does it in surprising ways, but God is always at work. Caitlin's family, many of you know, was in a horrible car accident last year. And there were many hard and horrible and rough things that came out of that. But in the midst of all of that chaos and that hurt, our family found something to laugh about, something that was surprising. You see, there were these two little statues that were being transported that her family was bringing our way. And in the devastation of the crash, we kind of all just wrote those off. There were far more important things to attend to. But somehow, inexplicably even, both of those statues survived. It doesn't make any sense to me, but both of those statues survived. They're actually on the shelf behind me. Let me get a little closer here. There are these two bunnies. We call them our survivor bunnies. And you've seen them on the shelf behind me for the last 3 months. It is surprising. And I think that God at work is often the same way with the church. Things don't make sense. It doesn't make sense that the church started out with Jesus, this man who was executed by the state. He was executed by the occupying state. And then the church expanded from this small group of his friends that just started rippling out, even though their preaching of the good news, their preaching the gospel about Jesus, led to their own deaths as well. And it doesn't make any sense. And yet here we all are, heirs to a 2,000, almost 2,000-year-old tradition of following after Jesus. And the only way that makes any sense at all to me, the only way that I can make sense of it at all, is if God is real and God is moving his kingdom forward. And even in these times of chaos, where everything seems up in the air, where it's just so chaotic, we know that God is moving God's kingdom forward. And if God is at work doing that, moving the kingdom forward, even in the midst of chaos, hurt, and confusion, then we have to expect that God is both listening and moving forward in front of us, even as we pray. our prayers are not somehow, you know, surprises to God. He didn't see that one coming. They are us saying, God, would you move? And then us expecting God will move some way and asking us to follow along after him. When we pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, our responsibility does not end with that phrase. It begins there. Prayer, faith in general, leads to actions. It is not something for us to mull over for ourselves. Our faith, our prayers lead to actions, lead to us engaging our world. It's not something where we just, you know, sit by and watch our world go to hell in a handbasket. Our faith is one of surprising resilience that says, how can I serve you in Jesus' name? Our world needs that hope. And I know that I've said that time and time again. And that's because I believe it. Our world needs the hope that Jesus brings, because he's the best hope that I can see. That's why I am following after him. That's why I pray to him. And what we need is for God to lead us forward. And ladies and gentlemen, if God is actually leading us forward, if we as a church are united, walking in God's way, moving forward, look out. Things are gonna get done. When we pray, God, may your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, we are asking for God to reign. We're asking for God to reign in our hearts, in us as Lord over us first. But we're asking for God to reign in our church, that God will be in charge of the decisions we make as a church family. That's why we pray to him, that God will lead us as a communal body forward. But we know that God, his ultimate destiny, what Jesus came to inaugurate, is the kingdom where God will eventually rule over the entire world, seen by all as the rightful ruler. That is the end that we are praying for. And I feel compelled to say that when we pray to God to change the world, we need to expect that we are going to be changed too. We will probably be convicted of some areas where we are falling short, where we don't even realize that we're missing the mark that Jesus has laid out for us. But that's expected following after God. God is not someone that we outsource things to and we pray and we say, God, take care of that. God is the one we follow. And if the Spirit of God is at work in our lives and in our church, that is where I want to be. That's the kind of church that I want us to be. That's the kind of person, Christian, Christ follower, that I want to be too. And that means I need to be in prayer. That means we as a church need to be in prayer. And we need to be expecting, when we pray, that God will use us. So let's expect God to answer as we pray for change in our world. Men, it is Father's Day. For those of you who are fathers, pray for your kids. Pray that you will lead them well, that you will guide them as they grow up and parent well, showing them how to become people that follow after God too. Church, all of us here, pray for what God is doing in our nation. Pray that we will follow whatever direction that God lays on our hearts, whatever direction God points us to, pray that we will stride forward boldly in that direction to move God's kingdom forward. And pray for people that don't know Jesus, that each one of us who follows after God will be connected with somebody that doesn't know Jesus so that we can bring them, we can share the good news with them and help them to see the best life that they can live, which we believe is following Jesus. So, with all of this in mind, I'm going to invite you to pray again with me. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer again, and I hope that as we pray, God will start to engage our hearts, our souls, our minds, in how God can use our prayer to expand out, to ripple out, and affect our world. So, let's pray together. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Church family, go forward knowing that your prayer will ripple out and that God will use you. God will use us as we follow after him to change this world, to expand God's kingdom forward. Blessings to you, church family. Go in peace.